from high atop his secret broadcasting Shangri-La, overlooking New York, Miami, Austin, Seattle, and all points in between. This is America's number one life coach, Daryl Mobley.
Hello, friends. You are listening to The Daryl Mobley Show, your life coach on the radio. The Daryl Mobley Show is the drama-free, success-focused. Excuses, they are not welcome. Forget the whining. Make progress. No negativity allowed. Work your plan. And zero, zilch, nada, psychobabble radio show. Here's why. So you can achieve your goals and live your best life. I'm Daryl Mobley, and I have been called son, brother, husband, dad, friend, Coach Mobley, and one of the best life coaches on the planet. Today, right here, right now, Coach Mobley is all yours. Let's get started. Hey, you. Yes, you. You know who you are. For a whole lot of reasons, you might be in physical pain. Adding to those reasons could be the lack of activity caused by the COVID virus-related lockdowns that have kept you cooped up for a long, long time. Even if you're fortunate enough to still have your job, the constant Zoom-type meetings have you sitting in a chair for hours and hours each day. That lack of activity could be the source of the pain you feel throughout your body. My own back problem and my connection to you has set me on a course to bring you experts who can share ways to reverse or eliminate chronic pain, prevent injury, and age in health at every stage of your life. Today, I bring you Dr. Sarah Voorhees. Dr. Sarah, known as the Well Body Doc, is an occupational therapist and chronic pain specialist with focus on the underlying root issues causing her patients and clients lifelong chronic pain. Today, we're going to engage with the good doctor's extensive training, education, and personal experience to step in where traditional medicine, prescriptions, and other pain relief methods and surgeries have failed.
Often blunt.
Go on.
Sometimes scary.
Go on.
And always on your side.
I'm a pretty big guy, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised how much fun we can have together.
Daryl Mobley is your life coach on the radio.
All right, I'm here with Dr. Voorhees. Today we're going to talk about pain, pain relief, and a bunch of other wonderful things. And that's very interesting to me because of kind of pain that I felt in my back and whatnot for a long time. But I know a lot of people who just endure pain every day. So I'm into it, and I'm into this discussion with you because I think it can help a lot of our listeners. But first, because you're like the queen of this, what is a fascia? Can you tell me what that is?
Yes. So fascia is this kind of dense, sticky connective tissue. It's made up of collagen. And it's found throughout your body, so top to bottom, side to side, back to front. It wraps around your muscle groups. It wraps around each individual muscle. It wraps around each individual cell, actually. And it has a lot of different functions depending on where it's at. It's really interesting to me because historically, back when they were kind of discovering anatomy, fascia was just something that was in the way. It was something that had to be removed so they could learn more about the important structures underneath, like the nerves and the blood vessels. And I think for that reason, this idea of fascia and the importance that it plays in your health and your well-being has been kind of slow to be adopted by conventional medicine, but it really is very important overall, and it plays a lot into a lot of your other functions throughout your body.
Mind blown already. So this fascia, it wraps around muscles, it wraps around all of our tissues, is that?
Everywhere and everything.
My goodness.
Your organs, your muscles, your bones, it's everywhere.
How does it work? What does it do?
It has four main functions. So the first one is protection. So if you think about, you slip on the ice and you fall and you land on your tailbone, the fascia around your tailbone is going to squish out all its fluid and it's going to tighten up. And that's going to prevent any more damage to those tissues that are already kind of injured. Mm-hmm. And it's going to facilitate healing. It's going to help that healing process. So it's going to hold everything together and it's going to allow those structures to recombine. It also provides structure. So you have deep fascia that works as you move and you twist. It kind of provides counterbalance. It helps your bones provide counterbalance to your movement.
So
another one is...
Wait a minute. No, this is great because, again, you're just throwing strikes here, Dr. Voorhees. So let me just get it straight. So like right now I'm grabbing my forearm and I'm just turning my fist, or twisting, I guess, my wrist in my arm. It's twisting. And you're saying the fascia, if I pronounce it correctly, it's providing structure to what, my muscles or what is it stopping or making happen with that?
Well, it's kind of, so you have, well, those deeper lines that are providing structure, not necessarily in your arm, but you have a superficial front line, which runs pretty much from your chin down the front to your toes.
Okay.
You have a superficial back line, which runs from your forehead all the way around your scalp, down your back, down your legs, to the bottom of your feet, to your toes. And you have some other lines in there, but the idea is that those really big, you know, pitchers on the mound are throwing pitches.
Right.
Your fascia is providing more stability throughout your muscles during those movements. And here's another mind-blowing thing for you.
Yeah.
You hear those stories about the mom who lifted the car off her children or the guy who fights off the mountain lion.
Yes.
When you are under those extreme, extreme stressful circumstances, your fascia is actually recruited by your muscles. And that's the part that's giving those people that superhuman strength.
Wait a minute. So you're right. I've heard the story about the woman in the car, the sun underneath, right? People, mountain lions and bears and pushing trees off, whatever. They're going crazy. So it's not a muscle.
It's not.
It's not tendon. It's not a ligament. It's not. It's just a sheath that fits around it, but somehow it makes you stronger, I'm confused and I'm loving it. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, all of the things that you said were correct. It's not a muscle. It's not a tendon, but it is actually the strongest pulling force in your body. It'll tighten up under stress and it just makes your muscles more effective, essentially.
Wow. Wow. I interrupted you and I know you were giving me four things what worked. I apologize. Let me let you get back to it. I think you're on number three now.
Yes. So the third one is similar to what we've just talked about, but it works as a lubricant. So you think about, you're making a fist, you're recruiting all of those muscles in your forearm.
Right.
So it's wrapping around that entire muscle group to allow it to contract and relax effectively. But then if you think about playing the piano, you're moving your fingers individually.
Right.
Each of those muscles in your forearm is going to contract individually. So it's wrapped around that individual muscle so that it slips between the other muscles without any friction.
So it's always wrapped around. It just expands, contracts, and whatever as needed. Is that what you're saying? All my life, all my years, because I hear about people tearing this tendon and that ligament, athletes and that sort of stuff. I have never had a doctor ever use the word, oh, the problem is your fascia. I've never had that. I've got to ask you right up front, because you may be unveiling to us stuff that can really, my hope too, is that can really help us move toward more pain-free. Why have we not heard of this? Why does it get damaged or doesn't get damaged? Or
it does get damaged. You definitely have dysfunction in your fascia, but because it's kind of like a spider web. So it's different pieces and it creates new structures. It's constantly changing. And you get dysfunction when it gets sticky, when it kind of gets stuck in one place. I think the reason that it's not kind of made it into modern medicine is because it's really hard to see. Like if you tear your, you know, I've torn my ACL. They can do an MRI. They can go in and they can say, yes, your ACL is torn.
Mm-hmm.
It's visible. It's right there. And it's easy to fix. It has a clear, defined method of repair.
Mm-hmm.
Your fascia is not necessarily like that. When you get dysfunction, and this is the very challenging thing about fascia for when I'm treating patients as well, is that because it is throughout your body, I have had people who have pain, you know, in their shoulder, in their arm, and I'm down working on the opposite leg and they can feel it in their arm.
Ooh, wow.
So okay. Where you're experiencing the pain is not necessarily where the dysfunction in your fascia is.
What happens to us when the fascia functions improperly, when it screws up?
Yes. Screwed up, so right? The dysfunction comes from when it gets sticky. So sticky. I like to think of it as like clay. So you've got a ball of clay and you're just playing with it in your hands. As long as you keep playing with it and keep moving it, it stays wet, right? It's mm-hmm. malleable.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take off a little piece and you set it aside 5, 10, 15 minutes, it starts to get dry on the outside.
Right.
Your fascia is kind of the same. So if you sit in one place for a long time, your fascia is going to get tight. You know, you probably noticed if you've sat at your desk for a few hours and then gotten up.
Yes.
Like it's you feel that stretch. That's your fascia.
Wait a minute. So that's not, you're saying that it's not necessarily, or maybe not ever, my back muscle.
No.
It's the fascia.
It's not your muscle. It's your fascia.
Oh, Mike. All right. Wow. I'm actually taking notes here. So it gets sticky. Okay.
They don't teach this stuff in school.
Then who do you propose teach this class?
You're on the air with Daryl Mobley, your life coach on the radio.
Hello, friend. I want to invite you to get a free subscription to my Live Your Best Life newsletter. It's fast and easy to do. Just go to CoachMobley.com. Click on the button you see there, fill out the little form, and you're in. Thanks.
Is there anything else related to it functioning improperly other than being sticky?
Well, that's the main, we call them restrictions. Those, mm-hmm. That's the main way that it gets dysfunctional. But the things that it causes when it's dysfunctional can be a wide range of symptoms. You can get things like fibromyalgia,
mm-hmm.
Carpal tunnel, plantar fasciitis. You can have just kind of general nerve pain because it can compress nerves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can affect blood circulation.
Wow.
You can have this because it's connected to all those structures so intimately, you can have a lot of different effects when it's not working right.
Does it work less well or less properly as we age? Is age related to its functioning, or that has nothing to do with it?
I love that question. The answer is yes and no. So okay. Your fascia doesn't necessarily become more sticky as you get older. The problem is that as we get older, we stop moving so much. You know, my kids are outside right now running around, going crazy, playing in the water.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you the last time that I did that. So the problem is not that our fascia is getting older. It's that we are not treating it the same way we did when we were younger.
You just said something that really sparked with me. You said, as we get older, it's not that the fascia screws up because we're older. It's because as we get older, we tend to move less, making it less malleable or lubricated and more sticky. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm not trying to get to the dessert before the dinner, but let me ask you a question here. So if a person, as they age, and I want everybody listening all the way to the back of the room to hear this. I want to make sure I can get this down. If as a person ages, they continue to move, they stay active, they literally try to become childlike in the amount they move, the frequency with which they move, that sort of stuff. Are you suggesting, saying, whatever you want to say, that the fascia would then be much less of an issue than people are experiencing now as they get older?
Exactly what I'm saying. And yeah. Not just your fascia,
yeah.
But you can talk about things like osteoarthritis.
Yes.
The problem that we're having is You know, your whether you believe we were created or evolved, your body was made to stack up a certain way.
Yes.
And our current lifestyles tend to get us out of those, out of that ideal alignment. And then your fascia gets sticky and it pulls your body further out of that alignment, which increases the pressure on your joints, which increases the friction in your joints, which increases your risk of osteoarthritis, increases your risk of disc degeneration in your back. All of
Wait
these
a minute.
Things.
Whoa, slow your roll. Slow your roll. Hold it. Hold it. And I apologize for being so rude, but you're,
that's okay.
You're going crazy here with me. So did you say that the fascia becoming less lubricated leads to the degeneration of disc in your back? Connect that for me.
Yes. So it's not exactly your fascia.
Mm-hmm.
The really important piece is your alignment. But your fascia is very connected to your alignment in whether it supports it or whether it increases the misalignment.
Okay. Increases the misalignment. Okay. Okay. Wow. So you're saying, let me go through some, by the way, did you finish your four ways that it works? I want to make sure before I.
Oh, I don't think we did.
Please.
I think I had one more.
Go ahead, please, because my mind is exploding. Go ahead, please.
The last thing is proprioception. So proprioception is how your brain knows where your body is without looking. So when you go to turn on the light in the dark or you touch your nose with your eyes closed.
Right.
Because your fascia is very hydrated, it's wrapped around your nerves, it actually helps propagate those nerve signals, which helps your body know where it is in space.
Okay. Okay. All right. Wow. Proprioception. Was that correct?
That's correct. Proprioception.
Yeah, I'm taking good notes here. So, okay. All right. So are you suggesting through all that you've said so far, and I asked you about age and, you know, I'm jumping around, you're saying the fascia, it's the issues with it can be related or are related or are causative of my back pain?
They very well could be. Yes.
Very well could be. Okay. All right. How about headaches?
Absolutely.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So somebody may think they're having allergy headache or migraine or something. It's in theory, they could think that, but it could be related to the fascia.
It could be, because you think about how much time we spend sitting at our desks on our computer or looking at our phones.
Right.
They have this new thing called Technic. And once your cervical vertebrae get out of alignment, you may be compressing nerves that may be causing headaches. You've got extra tension in your shoulders that may be causing headaches. All of those things can contribute.
When we're done with this show, we will have helped a lot of people. This is my goal, to get out of pain. And is the way you do what you do it mostly, largely, all the way through no drugs and medication, or is that a part of what you do as well? Why don't you tell us what you do, and then I'll just shut up. Go ahead.
Yes. So I kind of do two things. I have a private practice where I see clients and I do hands-on myofascial release, which is how I get in and help your fascia restructure.
Okay.
But I also work online with clients, helping them learn how to treat themselves. So giving them those tips and those tricks and those tools that I use on my clients and letting them do them themselves in their own homes,
mm-hmm.
which is really amazing.
Wow.
And I think that medication has an important place. There are certain circumstances where it is warranted, but I mm-hmm. think as a general rule, we way overuse medication, and that includes over-the-counter painkillers. It's so much easier to go take some Advil than it is to get down and really figure out what the problem is.
Right. Pop Advil. You're not really dealing with the problem. You're not fixing the problem. And so the problem will recur because you're not addressing what's really going on.
Yes.
Wow. What made you decide to get into this line of work? I mean, helping people become pain-free, that's how I'm going to sum up what you do. If I'm wrong, you can correct
me. I was 22. I had just had my daughter. All of a sudden, I had this awful shoulder pain. Like, it felt like my arm was trying to crawl off of my body.
Right.
I tried all the things. I tried Advil. I tried the chiropractor. I finally got into the doctor, and he told me that it was actually a problem in my neck. Gave me trigger point injections in my muscles, sent me to outpatient physical therapy. It worked. And then within a couple weeks of finishing physical therapy, it came back. because they never addressed my lifestyle. They didn't ask me about my stress. I was a brand new mom. They didn't ask me about what I was doing. I was, you know, working on nursing. I was holding my baby. I was really hunched and tight. And so by completely ignoring all of those pieces, they didn't actually solve my problem. So I went back to the doctor. He was like, well, we can give you more trigger point injections, send you back to PT, and I can give you some muscle relaxants and some painkillers. And I'm 22. It's not never been my thing. I've never been big on medication. So I dealt with it for about 5 years until I got into OT school and I learned how to treat myself.
What is OT school? What is OT school?
Occupational therapy school. Sorry.
There you go. Okay. You big shots. You use big shots. You use big words. There you go. Okay.
So I had this amazing opportunity in my final year to work with one of my professors who was going back to her private practice, and she does myofascial release. And so I got to see all these amazing clients and learn all these amazing ways that you can effectively and safely treat pain without medication in a way that actually addresses the problem and doesn't just put a Band-Aid on it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so that's why I'm super passionate about it, and I love doing it, and I love the results.
There have got to be, you know what, I'm just going to go right to it. It's in my brain. I want you just, no, I'll wait. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, buddy. Let me write a note to myself. At the very end, I'm going to come back to you and ask you that question. I'm not going to jump. I'm just flailing about because I am so enthusiastic about the possibility of me and everybody listening to find a way to be less pain, because pain becomes, I don't know, for those of you out there who understand what I'm talking about, you know, pain, what it does is it comes into your life and then it like never leaves. It's always there. It's there when you wake up. It's there when you stand up. It's there when you stand too long. It's there when you sit too long. It's there when you're driving. It's there when you're picking up your child. It's there where you, and if I'm only, I'm, having never been a pregnant mom, I can only imagine, what women must go through, the amount of things out of a line and being pulled different directions. This must be a godsend. And I'm even more excited about this show than I was before. And I was excited before, as you know. So you're saying fascia issues can relate to knee pain?
Yes, absolutely. You know, okay. We talk about fascia and aging, and there are, you know, as we get older, your body is gradually breaking down. But if you are paying attention to your alignment, I did.
Right.
Full disclosure here. There will be pain. There will be issues. But okay. If you manage your fascia and you take care of your alignment, you may be 70 before you start noticing that your mm-hmm. fingers are a little crinkly, or you may be 80 mm-hmm. or, you know, you may be 80 and running marathons because your knees don't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You take care of it now, it lasts a whole lot longer. The problem is that people don't know how to take care of it.
That's exactly right. And I'm getting excited. So what areas of the body do you see most often that pain related to fascia? And I'm going to write a list.
Back, usually lower back,
mm-hmm.
neck, feet, mm-hmm. particularly plantar fasciitis.
Oh.
A lot of people have plantar fasciitis.
Plantar fasciitis, that's related to the fascia issue? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's a fascial issue.
Oh, I did not. Okay. All right. Nobody tells me these things. I've been living for a while now. I've gone to doctors quite frequently for pain issues. This is...
Knees is another big one, but the thing about knees is that the problem is actually in your hips.
Ooh, what's going on at the hips that's bothering the knees?
Well, your knee is a hinge joint. So you think about a hinge on a gate, works the
right.
same way.
Right.
It's meant to be square and level.
Right.
Now, if you hang on the end of that gate,
mm-hmm.
it flexes that hinge a little, so it's rubbing a little bit more on one side, right?
Mm-hmm.
If your glutes are tight or your hips are misaligned, it's tweaking your knee the same way as hanging on a gate. So you're getting more friction, more compression of the cartilage in your knee, and ultimately causing yourself pain. So until you correct the alignment in your hips all the way down to your feet, you're never going to fix that issue with your knee.
Are you indicating that if a person came to you, oh, say my wife or someone else who might have the issue of the hips and the knees, that you would do, is it myofascial release? And that somehow is helping with alignment, or is there something else I'm missing in the story?
Yes, that's the first step. So the first step is addressing any restrictions in the fascia that are causing the misalignment of the hips. The second part, which is really important, which is why the online program is so effective, is that you need to retrain your brain to straighten your alignment. So you have to think about keeping your knees pointed forward, keeping your hips square, and over time, that becomes your new normal.
They don't teach this stuff in school.
And who do you propose teach this class?
You're on the air with Daryl Mobley, your life coach on the radio.
Hello, friend. I want to invite you to get a free subscription to my Live Your Best Life newsletter. It's fast and easy to do. Just go to CoachMobley.com. Click on the button you see there, fill out the little form, and you're in. Thanks.
And everything is related to the fascia not getting sticky.
Yeah.
It's like a simple answer. It sounds complex, but I'm thinking, wait a minute, this could be the holy grail of pain relief here, for goodness
sake. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you've told me, just to make sure I confirm, you're telling me that problems with the fascia are related to chronic pain that, you know, millions of Americans, all of my friends, everyone I know has got some issue with pain. You're suggesting to me that fascia could be a cause, a major cause of their issues.
I would say more than could be. I would say very likely.
So I should send all of them to you, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, very, very, very good. Okay, very good. Now, tell me, what is it that happens? You mentioned stickiness and lubrication, and what are the kinds of things we do? By the way, were you through after knees? Let me ask you, was there anything after knees that people come to you for before I move on?
No, those are the main things that I see.
Okay, what is it that happens to the fascia that makes it go crazy? I mean, is it lack of movement, or is there some particular movement, or what have you?
Yes, it is lack of movement, but it's also variety of movement. Oh. You know, you think about kids out on the playground, they're hanging on the monkey bars, they're swinging around the things, going down the slide, they're running, they're jumping. It's a lot of movement. It's a lot of different movement. And we miss out on that when we get older because we stop playing so much.
Yeah, right. So I don't see the 55-year-old out there at the park right on the monkey bars anymore. You're right.
No,
I don't see it.
But they should be.
They should be, is what you're saying.
Yes.
So is there any reason, based on your study, you know, what you know, that an older person, beyond, you know, whatever, beyond some health issue unrelated to this, is there any issue that an older person shouldn't, they don't have to go and get on the monkey bars, but they shouldn't go out and do the kind of things within their range, do the kinds of things, the kind of movements that you know, run and jump and twist and jog and hop and skip and climb? Is that what all of us should be doing?
It is never too late to start. But if it's been a while, definitely start slow and listen to your body because it's going to tell you what it needs.
Sleep. It'll be sleep.
Yes. As most of us do.
That's right. Sit down, Daryl. Sit down. What are you doing? So does the stretching, like, you know, if I throw myself on the ground once a day and stretch, do all the stretching and all that kind of stuff, is that addressing the issue, or is that not? That's not what you're talking about when you talk about movement.
Stretching is also good. It's different from movement, but it's also very effective at addressing restrictions in the fascia. However, it's not stretching like you stretched in gym class in high school.
Okay.
It has to be slow. We call it low load, long duration. So you want a mild to moderate stretch. You can't push it too far. It shouldn't hurt. It might be a little tight, but it shouldn't hurt. And then you want to hold it. I mean, one stretch for several minutes. And
hold one stretch for several minutes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm writing this down. Okay. All right, go ahead.
And the goal is to get the rest of your body as relaxed as possible so you're not inducing tension into the system. And what happens is it might start to feel like that stretch isn't as strong as it was, so you might need to stretch a little bit further until you get back into that mild to moderate level. Or it might feel warm because as the fascia releases, you may have an increase of blood flow. And those things are indications that you are actually addressing the fascia.
Right, right, right. So, okay, what role does, you know, I'm not a yoga person. I know people who are. What role does yoga play in addressing fascia problems? Or is it, as you say, it's not the same sort of movement you're talking about?
No, yoga is great because you can do, you know, 30, 45 minutes of yoga. You get a ton of variety of movement.
Okay.
It's a lot of kind of movements that we don't typically do throughout our day.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of different kinds of yoga. I'm actually a yoga instructor.
Okay.
So if you do something like a vinyasa yoga, it's going to be more movement focused. It's going to be a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
But you get that movement in. Or if you do something like a yin yoga, during yin, you typically set yourself up into a position and then you rest. And that is great for your fascia.
Wow.
So yoga, I mean, if you can find a yoga that you like, I recommend it to everybody.
Wow. Okay. All right. This is amazing. So lack of movement and lack of variety of movement will help us alleviate our pain and let the fascia continue to stay, you know, lubricated and flexible and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So the fascia has, like, it's like everything. It has nerve throughout, right?
Yes.
So that's the pain it's communicating when it's in danger, when it's damaged, when it's stiff, when it's cranky, when it sticks, when it goes through things or is moving. It's shooting us pain saying, hey, check yourself. Is that it?
Yep.
Whew. You know, I didn't know all my life I've been going around with this frenemy. This frenemy named fascia. I did not know that. This is okay. I was blaming on pain, but I wasn't really blaming on the cause or the origin. Tell me now that for all of us who weren't thinking about our pain, I tell you what, I know you're out there thinking about it now. My goodness, you're probably reaching for your back, rubbing your knee, because I've been doing that, right? I'm standing up here now and I'm trying to be flexible and can make this moving here. I got everything. Okay. But tell me 10 actions, 10 behaviors, 10 steps. I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but you seem to know everything about this, that we can do to fix our fascia problems.
Yes. Okay. We talked about movement. Number one.
Yes.
Move more and move more often. You know, I like to set a timer for every hour and I get up and I walk around the house or I do a couple stretches for 5 minutes. All it takes is 5 minutes.
Ooh, okay.
Variety of movement. Number two, get more variety of movement.
Okay.
Number three is hydrate. Your fascia is supposed to be a hydrated system. We talked about when it's providing protection, it squishes out its fluid. It can't release those restrictions without reabsorbing fluid. And so what's going to happen is it's going to look for hydration from where you are most hydrated, which is your brain. And when it pulls that from your brain, you're going to get headaches, you're going to get confusion, you're going to get brain fog. Just drink the water and then you don't have to worry about that.
Do you realize how insane you're sounding now?
And I do.
Here's what I mean. You're telling me stuff. You're spitting fire here. I'm thinking, wait a minute. What? So the fascia, it wants to be lubricated. When it does what it does, it immediately goes and says, I need to have the fluid replaced.
Yep.
It seeks it out in your body. Great place to go for it is your brain. When it pulls the fluid from your brain, so I'm just trying to see if I can pass the test here. When it pulls the fluid from your brain, you then suffer brain fog, headaches, maybe?
Yep.
My goodness. No. Okay. You are just dropping so many down. So movement, variety of movement, hydrate. What's next?
Stretching. We talked a little bit about the stretching. I'm not going to go back into that.
Okay.
Number five is diaphragmatic breathing.
Now see what you're doing. You're
more big words for you.
Diaphragmatic breathing. Okay, go ahead.
Yep. It's also called belly breathing. But what happens is your diaphragm is this big dome muscle.
Mm-hmm.
It's connected under your ribs. And when it contracts, it pulls down and it expands your lungs so that you can get a good deep breath. What also happens when you breathe fully into your diaphragm is you'll notice that your stomach kind of pushes out a little bit, which is good. But what it's doing is it's also massaging your vagus nerve, which helps relax your body and supports digestion, supports all of those it's part of your parasympathetic nervous system that
slow your roll, Dr. Voorhees. Slow your roll. You say
the calming part.
Wait, did you say vagus nerve? Did you?
Yes, V-A-G-U-S, vagus.
Okay.
One of your cranial nerves. I think it's number 10. And it reaches all the way from your brain, goes down through your neck, innervates your heart and your lungs, and down in all of your organs in your abdomen. It innervates all that. And it's named, I don't know what the etymology is, but it's the wandering nerve because it's the longest. So when it's stimulated, it encourages your body to relax. So it's part of that fight or flight, but it's the opposite of the fight or flight.
So this is diaphragmatic breathing. Breathing with your belly allows the vagus nerve, which you say is the longest nerve running from somewhere high to somewhere low, to give off signals to relax, or it relaxes. What are you saying?
It gives off signals to your body to relax. So it supports your digestion. It supports your heart rate, those kinds of things.
Okay, number 6.
Stress management. This kind of combines with the diaphragmatic breathing, but when you're stressed, you know, stress, a little bit of stress can be okay, but your body doesn't know the difference between I have a deadline at work and I'm about to get eaten by a tiger. And there are a lot of...
It can feel the same.
Yeah, right? There are a lot of effects of stress on your body beyond just that feeling of anxiety. And so that tension that you hold that a lot of us don't even notice when we're extra stressed out translates into your fascia. Translates into pain.
Number 7?
Eating good food. This is kind of
That's nice.
Not fascia specific, but it's important to nourish your body with what it needs.
Certain foods?
Not necessarily. Just having an overall quality diet, making sure that, you know, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a proponent of any diet in particular, but making sure that you're focusing on whole foods, natural foods. It's not the typical processed American diet, which is really bad for us.
They don't teach this stuff in school.
Then who do you propose teach this class?
You're on the air with Daryl Mobley, your life coach on the radio.
Hello, friend. I want to invite you to get a free subscription to my Live Your Best Life newsletter. It's fast and easy to do. Just go to CoachMobley.com. Click on the button you see there, fill out the little form, and you're in. Thanks.
All right, next.
Paying attention to your posture. So your fascia will pull you out of alignment if you're not paying attention to how you are holding yourself. So my favorite quote is, your mom always said, stand up straight, right?
Yes.
But most of us don't actually know how to do that. So when you are in proper alignment, your knees will be over your heels, your hips will be over your knees, your shoulders will be over your hips, and your ears will be over your shoulders. So from the side, you could draw a straight line down from your ears to your heels.
I'm trying to do
most that people are leaning forward.
Yeah, I guess it should feel normal if I'm used to doing it, right?
Right.
Yes. So if I fall over, I'm really
forward. You're really leaning forward.
Exactly. Okay.
And then your middle finger should line up with the seam of your pants on the outside, and your thumbs should be pointing forward.
This sounds very military.
That's a little bit.
There you go.
A little bit. Very not little. With the feet out, though. That's terrible. Exactly.
The duck walking is not the thing.
Yeah, no.
Okay, very good. Okay. All right. Posture. What's next?
Sleep.
Okay.
Get good sleep.
Okay.
That when you're sleeping is when your body has time to repair the issues that occurred during the day. It's when your brain cleans itself out. Sleep is really important.
And number 10, I think this is the last one.
Yeah, last one. The last one is more of a don't. So don't overdo it. We talked about your fascia is the strongest pulling force in your body. So if you try to stretch through those restrictions, what's going to happen is you're going to damage the tissues that they're connected to, not the fascia itself. So it's not no pain, no gain. You have to be gentle and you have to be consistent. And that's when you get results. It's not going to be an overnight thing.
So let me say this is okay. So let me run them through again. There are always those people, you know how this is in class. they're sitting in the back. They're not paying attention. Let me hit them. The top 10 again, you gave me movement, variety of movement, hydrate, stretching, diaphragmatic breathing, which I've learned something new. It involves the vagus nerve, which runs from, where'd you say it runs from again?
It runs from your brain, all the way down to your abdominal organs.
All the way down the abdominal. Okay. You say it's the longest in the body.
is the longest cranial nerve.
Longest cranial nerve. Thank you. Number 6, stress management. Manage your stress. Number 7, eat good foods, quality foods. Whole foods is best. Number 8, posture. Work on your posture. Number 9, make sure you're getting effective sleep. And number 10, don't become a maniac. Don't overdo the stretching such that you're creating pain within the parts of the body that the fascia surrounds. Is that it?
Yes.
Whew, my goodness. Okay. All right. That is amazing. Okay. So, my goodness. So, the benefits, you've dealt with people, a lot of clients, which is wonderful stuff. And you have clients who are male and female?
Yes.
Young and old?
Yep.
Athletic and far from it?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me if you have any benefits we haven't covered to taking care of the fascia system.
I think we covered all of them. I mean, primarily, most people want to eliminate pain. They want to not wake up and hurt every day.
Yes, that's a very
getting good. People to realize that they need to invest in their health for the future is a little bit harder because if you're not feeling that pain, you're not super encouraged. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all so busy, we're not thinking about how much effect we're having down the road.
As you know, I brought up my friends, family, myself, everything, and I'm going to see if we can go somewhere with this. Can you? Without, I don't want to know their name or anything like that, but can you give me an example of someone who rolled up to you, they had pain issues from whatever it would be, sports, not sports, accidents, I don't know what. You figured out that it was related to the fascia. Can you tell me what happened to him or her, what you had them do or what you did to them, and give me some results?
Yeah. This is actually a case study that I did. Is kind of my doctoral dissertation, if you will.
Okay.
And so I had a client who had almost daily migraines, tension headaches, kind of generalized pain throughout the body, didn't feel good, had a hard time at work, had trouble taking care of the kids. And so what I did was it was a 6-week treatment. So she had 2 30-minute sessions a week where I was hands-on. I was actually working on her.
Okay.
But then I gave her all these stretches, all these tools that I use, that I give to my clients all the time.
Okay.
And she did those on her own.
Okay.
And so what we found was by the 2nd week, she had fewer migraines and fewer tension headaches, decreased again the 3rd week. By the 4th week, she was not having any more migraines.
So I'm sure she was loving you.
Yes.
And probably whoever loves her was loving you.
Yeah. So she didn't have to deal with the migraines. She didn't have to take medication. This is very interesting to me because I expected that the tension headaches would respond better because in my mind, they would be more related to fascial issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the tension headaches did decrease. She did have fewer tension headaches. And for both the migraines and the tension headaches, they didn't last as long as they had been. They weren't as bad. And like we talked about, they didn't happen as often. So she reduced in all of those areas. She wasn't taking as much medication as she needed to. Mm-hmm. She had a general overall better feeling throughout the day at work, taking care of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a follow-up 6 months after we finished, and she had been pretty good at keeping up with her homework, but obviously I hadn't seen her in that time to do any hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
And she was still down to about 2 migraines a month.
You're the good doctor. So listen, we got you here now and you're giving us great information. Let me see if I can ask some questions. What is the biggest pain issue that you see that people come to you for, that you observe in teenagers?
I don't know that I could identify the most. The couple of issues that I've seen when I've worked with younger people have been neck problems from being on their phones, knee issues where when they walk, you kind of bump your knees together. That's a misalignment in the hips. So we were able to correct that.
That's nice. Okay.
Yep. Myofascial release is also very effective in dealing with menstrual issues. So if you have really bad cramps or other issues, myofascial release can be effective in treating that, but I have not specifically worked with anybody to do that.
Okay. Do you realize, let me pause for a second, and I'm just going to be honest here. I'm going to just share when you just said what you said, I was literally, once we finished our meeting here, I was going to jump on the phone, call people I know and say, hey, you know, that menstrual pain stuff you got, there may be some relief. Do you realize?
Yeah.
Wow. I apologize for interrupting you. Go ahead.
No, those are the primary issues that I see with.
Now, what about young adult women?
I would say the neck trend tends to continue for the most part. Headaches are a big issue. I'm seeing more younger people mm-hmm. with things like fibromyalgia.
Mm, okay.
Foot pain, those sorts of things. I mean, we could probably spend an entire show talking about shoes.
Just for shoes.
and how terrible they are.
In general, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Shoes, bad. That's right. There you go. Okay. What about young men, young adult men? Is there any particular thing you see with them?
Probably the same. Headaches and neck issues. They tend to not have so many back issues yet. Mm-hmm. But the back issues tend to come going, you know, 30s, 40s mm-hmm. And up.
What about, you want to go women in their 40s?
Sure. Let's see. Fibromyalgia still.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Neck pain, back pain, headaches. You start getting some plantar fasciitis in there, carpal mm-hmm. tunnel.
The reason I'm doing this is because I know out there listening, somebody's are in these groups. How about postmenopausal women?
I think postmenopausal women typically have the most issues in their hips. Mm-hmm. They've gotten really tight from sitting over time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it could be causing sciatica, had a few with sciatica. It could just be general hip pain. It could be pain when they're walking, things like that.
What about women pregnant or shortly after childbirth, which you were at 22? What about that? Whatever the age.
Back and neck pain.
Let's talk about how you take care of yourself. What is your pain like?
I occasionally get busy and don't do the things that I should be doing, and mm-hmm. I will start to get little twinges, mm-hmm. but I've learned to recognize what those mean and what my body needs, and so I am effectively pain-free every day.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you say, you know what, you didn't ask about this, but this is really important?
Well, you didn't ask about shoes. Mm.
Okay.
But since you've given me an opening, I'm gonna rant for just a second.
Okay, shoes. You shoe lovers out there, get ready. Go ahead.
Your feet are supposed to be pretty much as flexible and mobile as your hands.
Okay. All
right. The problem is that as soon as we start walking, we stuff them into shoes.
That's right.
And hopefully, you know, you start out with the soft leather soles that are really mm-hmm. flexible.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be like wearing mittens your whole life. Your hands wouldn't be very useful if you had always worn mittens.
Okay.
And so shoes are significant because almost every shoe you buy has a positive heel, where your heel is higher than the ball of your foot.
Right, right.
It's like putting a wedge under a bookcase.
Okay.
So you can imagine how everything shifts. So now you have to realign your knees and your hips, and it changes the curvature of your back, and it changes the position of your head. And now your entire body is misaligned because you put on a shoe.
They don't teach this stuff in school.
And who do you propose teach this class?
You're on the air with Daryl Mobley, your life coach on the radio.
Hello, friend. I want to invite you to get a free subscription to my Live Your Best Life newsletter. It's fast and easy to do. Just go to CoachMobley.com. Click on the button you see there, fill out the little form, and you're in. Thanks.
And now your foot, which is supposed to be flexible and mobile and move a certain way as you walk, is getting stiffer. And so those biomechanics are changing. It's changing the way the joints move together. It's changing the way the foot moves as a whole. And that's why plantar fasciitis is becoming such a prominent issue. But it gets worse because we get older. Our feet are getting stiffer. They start to hurt. So you go to the podiatrist, and the podiatrist puts you in a thicker, stiffer shoe.
That's correct. You see, now you're okay. That's right. They give you this
insert
that's stiffer. Yes. That they can't move. Okay. All right.
And another major part of that is that you have no connection to the ground. So all of that sensory input about your mm-hmm. balance, mm-hmm. because you actually have 8 senses.
Wait.
Not 5. You have 8.
Wait. Okay. Hold it. Stop the train.
Yep.
Pencil is out. What are my 8 senses?
Okay. So you've got the main 5, hearing, touch, sight, smell, and taste, right?
Hearing, touch. I just went sight, smell, and taste. Okay. Go ahead.
Then you have vestibular, which is
spell it, please. Spell it, please. I'm writing it down. Okay.
I'm glad.
Yes.
V as in Victor. Uh-huh. E-S-T-I-B-U-L-A-R.
Okay.
Vestibular.
That's a sense?
Yep. So that's your inner ear, and your inner ear has fluid in it, which tells you if you're upright.
Right. Okay.
So when you close your eyes and go to wash your shampoo out of your hair,
mm-hmm.
your vestibular system keeps you upright. Okay. And your proprioceptive system, which is your next sense that we talked about,
okay.
proprioception, lets you put your hands under the water without looking. So those two work together. It's where your body is in space without looking.
Okay.
And then the last one is interoception. And so that's knowing whether you're hungry, you need to use the bathroom, kind of those internal feelings. So a lot of kids these days have issues with potty training or kind of processing some of those internal issues.
Okay.
And that is a dysfunction with the interoceptive system.
Okay, so now relate that back to the shoes.
So you're not getting the input from the ground that your brain is looking for. Your brain wants to know where your body is. It's seeking that sensory input. But you put a thick shoe under it, and now you're not really getting any. Now you're off balance. Now you're older. You're stiffer. Because you have been improperly loading your bones, you probably also have decreased bone density.
Is this one of the reasons older people lose balance as they're older? Is this related to that, or am I?
It's definitely related.
And this is why people fall more when they get older, maybe?
Yep. And now you have decreased bone density, and now you've broken a hip. But it starts early. You know, you start losing muscle mass. You start potentially losing bone density like in your 30s. So you have to be conscious about the efforts that you take to counteract that natural degeneration process. And with positive heeled shoes, because you're shifting that entire alignment, you're not getting the weight. Your bone density is made through pressure, essentially. And so if you aren't loading those bones correctly, they're not going to thicken.
Again, mind blown when you started, mind blown now. Would it be better if we wore shoes that had negative heels, where a heel was lower than a foot, or are heels just bad all around?
Just bad all around. You just want your foot to be neutral. You want as kind of flexible a shoe as possible. I don't have any specific recommendations.
I got you. Sure, no problem. My goal oftentimes, and for those of you out there, you know who you are. You will understand me asking this question because I really, really don't mind tweaking people. Dr. Voorhees, high-heeled shoes, discuss.
They're the worst. I mean, I'm not saying I don't have some in my closet.
Sure.
However, typically they have a very tight toe box. So now you are changing the alignment of your toes.
Right.
That's affecting the joints. So a lot of people have bunions, which is inflammation of that main toe joint that's caused by a tight toe box. They're also very rigid because if they weren't, you'd fall off of them.
That's right.
So now your foot isn't flexing. All of that motion has to come from your ankles and your knees, which is increasing the stress in your ankles and your knees. And then you have such a ridiculous heel, of course.
Right.
They always are.
Right.
That, you know, it's screwing up that entire alignment throughout your body. So you're going to, like a lot of women have back pain from wearing heels because of that increased curvature of their lower back to compensate for the misalignment.
And I have you quoted, it's the worst. Yeah.
Yes, you can quote that.
I tell you right now, there got to be people out there listening thinking, if I can become pain-free or have significant less pain, that might change my life. My hope is that people take what we've heard today, because I was mesmerized when I first heard about you, and I said, we've got to get her on the show, and you have lived up to the billing, Dr. Lori. It's really fantastic stuff. I'm really excited about what you can do for people, and I just hope you do it for a lot of people. Don't put up with pain any longer. Is that a good suggestion?
Yes, you should not be scheduling your life around your pain. You should be living it. It's too short already.
Dr. Voorhees, thank you so much for the time you've given us. Loving it. I'm really, really thrilled with you. You were succinct to the point. You used big words, but you're bearing with me as I asked about those big words. But no, it was great. I learned a lot of stuff in a very little bit of time, and I just can't thank you enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let me point all of you in pain to a free guide from Dr. Sarah. Go to bit.ly/fasciaguide. That's bit.ly/fasciaguide. Okay, friends, thank you for joining me on the Daryl Mobley Show, your life coach on the radio. Let's do it again. Same bat time, same bat channel. Remember this, my friends. In life, you don't get what's fair. You don't get what's good. You don't get what's nice. You don't get what you deserve. You don't get what you wish for. And you do not get what you need. In life, my friends, you get what you do. Period. Make the person in the mirror, that's you, do the right things, and you will win at the game of life. One more thing. Your life will not get better by chance. Your life will get better from change. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have me as your life coach, please go to CoachMobley.com and send me a note on the form you find there. Believe, think, act, win, and say it with me. Enjoy life. The best is yet to come. Hey, wife, I love you and the kids. See you soon. Bye-bye now. Remember, CoachMobley.com.